Let me say good afternoon to everyone. We want to welcome you to worshiping with us this afternoon with the Highland Heights Church of Christ. I'm Brother Horace Stroud, and I co-labor with Brother Tommy Brooks, and we're just thankful for all that have chosen to worship with us on this afternoon. And we're excited that me and Brother Brooks had a conversation on this afternoon about an excitement as he shared on this morning about the building renovations and those improvements that have been made to the physical building. And I want to just encourage us, as me and Brother Brooks was talking about, the fact that we renew our attitude when we come back to assemble those that will be assembling. I'm talking about those that have chosen to worship with us at Highland Heights, that we renew our minds, our attitudes, as we prepare to assemble back in the building once things are finalized and preparations are made for us to do that, that we come back with, a renewed attitude to worship the Lord in that building. And then for those that assemble with us via our conference call, the plan is to have live streaming prepared. So now you can visually, those that choose to live stream with us, you'll be able to do that and worship with us from around the country. But again, we are excited and we're just thankful and privileged to be blessed to be ministers for those of the Highland Heights Church of Christ. If you are not a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ, want to share with you that you are our honored guest. There's a couple of scriptures I'd like to share with you before we launch the lesson on this afternoon. In the Old Testament, and you can write these down, and I'll encourage all to take notes if you're able to. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah made an interesting assessment when he said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps." So Jeremiah realized the fact that he was not able spiritually to direct himself. And then Jesus, when he gave his Sermon on the Mount, he acknowledged for the New Testament, those that will be Christians, that Brother Brooks shared on this morning, that those that would be Christians, Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And then we find that from the Word of God, that Jesus shared with those individuals and with Nicodemus specifically in John chapter 3 and verse number 3, where Jesus talked about how one entered into the kingdom of God when he said, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again," and that's a spiritual birth, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." So what Jesus talked about man to see, Jesus gave what is the culminating act, which is baptism, that allows one to enter into the kingdom of God. And then we find in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, on the first assembling of those that became Christians in worshiping God in those five acts of worship, in Acts 2:47, the Bible talks about that fifth act in verse 47, when the Bible says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So that scripture tells us, again, as Brother Book shared this morning, that all the saved are in the church, and the church is the church of Christ, according to Romans chapter 16 and the verse is number 16. So all those that are going to be added to the church, any person that is of the age of accountability that has a desire and plan to be saved must be added to the Lord's church according to the Bible. Again, we want to welcome you. We have been studying. Brother Brooks have been, thank him again for this morning, talking about, but this man, talking about Christ himself, showing who Christ is and how Christ came through the lineage of Judah, that Jesus Christ is our King and our High Priest. And so this afternoon, he's speaking from the book of Hebrews, and in the afternoon, we are talking about Christian living using the Epistle of James, which, as one has called, a roadmap for Christian living. And so this afternoon, we want to encourage you to listen diligently to the Word of God, as the Word of God can help us in our Christian walk. And 3 points from the previous lesson where we talked about submit yourself therefore to God. And we're going to connect last week's lesson with this week's message on this afternoon. But from last week's message, 3 points from that lesson. One, as Peter said, abstain from fleshly desires that war against your soul. Those desires, those urges, those things, those lusts that we have that are fleshly, they war against your soul, number one. Number two, we wanted to also encourage you from the scriptures. The Bible says that God has more grace to help us in our lives. James said that God giveth grace unto the humble. And then thirdly, as we springboard the lesson, that submission to God is where spirituality can begin. It's very important. From last week's message, I want to let us know that when you begin this race, when you want to begin this journey toward heaven, which is the finish line, I want you to know that it begins with submission to God. As James calls it, submit yourself therefore to God. And I want to say to you, those that are Christians, you began that walk when you submitted, when someone preached the gospel to you. You submitted or was obedient to the will of God and becoming a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ. If you're on the call this afternoon, I will close my message with specifically what one must do in order to become a Christian. If you are not a Christian according to the Bible, not according to man, and not according to what we call ourselves, but what the Bible referred to those, again, as Brother Brooks said this morning from Acts 11:26, when we find that the first congregation, that when it was mixed with Gentiles and Jews, is when the Lord allowed the name Christian to be used after the congregation in Antioch that was made up of Jew and Gentile became one in the Lord. The Lord allowed the name Christian to be written by Luke from Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. So again, want you to look at it as we look at James chapter 4, and again, thank Brother Brooks for reading the scripture. Thank Brother Cash and Brother Kirby for those prayers on our behalf as we worship our God this afternoon. Brother, I don't want to miss one out, Brother Daniels for again leading us in a song this morning, this afternoon, and I thank again our young brother, Brother Adam Smith, Jr., for leading us in our communion and our offering to the Lord. And so we find from James chapter 4, verse 7, as we get ourselves to verse 10, and our subject titles this afternoon, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. But it begins, as James wrote to those Christians then, he said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So again, submission is choosing between doing what we want to do and obeying the will of God. Notice now, submit means choosing between doing what we want to do and obeying the will of God. And this needs to be an immediate and permanent decision. I have to say to myself that I'm going to submit myself, therefore, James said, to God. And it's going to be immediate and it's going to be permanent. I'm going to submit myself to the will of God. And let me just say this. Whether one goes to heaven or whether one miss heaven will be determined by your choices or the decisions that you make in life. Note in Hebrews the importance of making a choice. In Hebrews, Brother Brooks will talk about this as he continues in the book of Hebrews, but I will extract two scriptures from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 and 25, where the Hebrew writer wrote, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, when he became full grown, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So we have to, as we grow in life, there are certain things that we have to refuse. Moses refused then, when he became grown, to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Notice verse 25, choosing rather, he made a choice to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What are you saying, Brother Stroud? I'm saying that our going to heaven will be based on choices we make, whether we choose to obey God or whether we choose to do what we want to do. As the Bible says, enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses chose to suffer whatever affliction that was there, and he chose to do it with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And while I'm on verse number 7 of James chapter 4, let me just share this with us. We had one of our sisters ask him prayer about her challenges about a new job. And let me encourage her as well as all of us. When the Lord says, when James says in verse number 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I want to say that Peter told us how we deal with the devil. I want to go back to that text I used on last week in 1 Peter 5 and 8. How does the Christian fight against the devil? Peter gave us two characteristics that will be necessary in that fight when he said, be sober. 1 Peter 5 8, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so what Peter wanted to encourage the Christian to understand, that when you come up against the devil, who, as he used metaphorically, was like when you come up against a roaring lion, one of the things that oftentimes happen to us, even as Christians, we allow fear to enter into us, and our decision-making is driven by that fear. And so what Peter was saying here is to be sober is to have a calmness of mind. Even though I'm looking at that lion, I got to have a calmness of mind, and I have to have mental self-control, I still got to control myself as I'm facing that lion. And then he says, be vigilant. Vigilant means paying careful attention with a spiritual alertness. I'm using the word of God to alert me spiritually to those things that the devil may have out there that can trap me. And so Peter says, be sober and be vigilant. Exercise mental self-control and pay attention while you're dealing with the devil. God gives us that spiritual alertness through his word. So I want to say that. So we start off with submission. He said, therefore, to God. And then he says, verse number 8, he says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And so James says in his letter that he's talking figuratively from a state of condition that we place ourselves or position ourselves near to God. You know, in Acts chapter 17, and the verse is number 27, Acts 17 and verse 27, talking about where God is and where we can be. Luke wrote, he said, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him. And notice now, find him, though he be not far from every one of us. The Lord is not far, Luke wrote, from any of us. Any of us. We can draw near to God. And James said, how does one draw near to God? I'm glad you asked that question. Three things I want to say how one draw near to God. Number one, it is studying of the word of God. That's how we draw near to God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we become near to God when we're studying the word of God. The word of God is the mind of God, that God has given to man, that we can draw near to God. And then secondly, we draw near to God when we worship God. And as we're doing on this afternoon, as we will do hopefully in the near future, concerning those that will assemble with us at the Highland Heights building where we assemble, we worship God. According to John 4:24, the Bible says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit, that's your spirit, and in truth, according to the word of God. So we draw near to God first by studying of the word of God, and hopefully you are doing that on a daily basis. Secondly, you're worshiping God as is given by those that are in leadership where you assemble, that you worship. If it be morning and afternoon, you're doing that. You're worshiping God, how we draw near. And then thirdly, you worship God by serving him faithfully. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 25 and verse is number 21. He said, his Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So again, we draw near to God. One, when I'm studying the word of God on a daily basis. Two, when I'm worshiping him in spirit and truth. Thirdly, when I serve him faithfully. Matthew 25 and verse number 21. So when James was telling them to draw near unto God, he said, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So James was telling them that you make yourselves cleansed from those feelings, that thoughts that are causing you to feel guilty about. James said, cleanse your hands, and their hands meaning your actions. He said, you sinners. All of us are sinners because all of us are in a fallen condition from the Lord. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But it took the Lord to give us an opportunity to obey him. And then he said, purify your hearts. And that's to eliminate sin from your heart as it is possible. Eliminate that from your heart. And then he said, ye double-minded. Double-minded are those that want to live with God but love worldly things. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 11. So I'm double-minded when my mind is in the world and on the Lord. I am, as James said, you are a double-minded person. And what we want to do is draw near to the Lord. That, as I said, that is an immediate and permanent decision that I'm going to live from the Lord. You can do that today. You can do that today. And hopefully, as we've been studying, I know it has been for me, the studying of the book of James have been a blessing to me, have refocused me, even though I've been in the Lord for the many years that I have, studying this letter and preparing these messages have allowed me to refocus and examine myself to be more faithful to the Lord. And hopefully the message will do that for you. And so James says, verse 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. James is now continuing with his thought on those that are, as he called, that need to cleanse their hands and purify their heart, those that are double-minded. James said the thought is that we be afflicted. Afflicted means a state of distress, of being you're miserable about me being away from the Lord and not living for the Lord. He said, and mourn being a feeling of sadness because of sin. Then he said, weep as we sometimes express our sadness in tears. He said, let your laughter, no longer I'm laughing, be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. You know, we are sad because of the failure of not living as James said to these Christians, to the standard that the Lord will have you to be. And so I want to say it to us, one must experience a spiritual transformation as discussed. Look at Ephesians briefly by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, and notice how that transformation can be made, that James identifies those that are need to have their hands clean, their heart purified. Notice how Paul says it in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse number 19. Paul said, who being past feelings had given themselves unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's the behavior that James was talking about. But not notice how Paul now gives us how that transformation is made. He said, but you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him, Christ, and have been taught by him, Christ and his apostles, as the truth is in Jesus. Notice what he says now, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust and desire. And then he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So the transformation is done in the mind. When I give myself to learn of Christ and the words of God, those teachings of Christ and his apostles whom he sent. That's how one renew his mind. That's what James was talking about, that we renew ourselves. We draw near to God. He then, notice now, as we draw near to God, God draws near to us. And as we said in Acts 17, 27, God is not far from any of us. We first begin by turning to God. That's called repentance. We turn to God and to the Word of God. And then, as we look at our text on this evening, this afternoon, our subject title, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That's the finish line. You start the race by submission. You're choosing, therefore, to obey the will of God. We're resisting the devil, and the devil will flee for a time. But the race starts, as James told those Christians, when you submit, therefore, to God. And you near the finish line when you humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. So one say, well, what does humble mean? Humble is a voluntary acceptance of a place of lowliness in order to be pleasing to God. A voluntary acceptance of a place of lowliness in order to be pleasing to God. In other words, I choose to walk lowly, and I'm going to show you that in the scriptures. In the presence, James said, in the sight of the Lord, or in the presence of the Lord, I'm humbling myself. And the Bible says, and he, God, shall exalt you or raise you to a high level. And so as I looked at, who can we find in the Bible that is the greatest example of humility? Someone who lowered themselves in order to please God. Brother Brooks talked about him this morning. That person, I think Paul does an excellent documentation of that person in Philippians chapter 2, if you'll turn there with me, Philippians chapter 2, as we move toward a close this afternoon, Philippians chapter 2, and beginning at verse number 3. Paul said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Paul said, it begins when I'm not one that causes contention, argument, strife, nor am I one that want to be lifted up or be boastful. Paul says, but a lowliness of mind. When I'm thinking about others better than myself. Notice verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. What are you saying, Brother Stroud? That means to look at others from their situation and circumstances and not ours. I want you to see this. Christ was in heaven and he had to look down, but then he had to look at us from our situation and circumstances, because the Bible tells us when Jesus looked down on our situation and circumstances, he saw where the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus looked at our situation. God looked at our circumstances. God did, along with the Godhead in Christ, and realized that he couldn't look at it from where he was, but where we were. And that's why Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus looked at us and didn't look at his own thing. He was in heaven. And I'll show you that in the text. Paul said, when it comes to lowliness of mind, it's the mind that Christ had. The Christian is to develop the character of Jesus Christ in your everyday walk. Watch what it says about Christ, Paul said, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God. He was the Son of God who became the Son of Man. It doesn't get any lower than that to go from being God to being man. And that's why Paul said in Philippians 2 and 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. He left the riches of glory and became flesh and blood, being a servant to all. Jesus did that. And we find as Jesus spoke about this in Matthew chapter number 20, and the verse is number 27, the Bible says, and whosoever, Matthew 20:27, will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man, not the Son of God, but the Son of Man, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And the word minister here means to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus paid the debt that none of us could pay. But in doing that, he had to lower himself and he had to become a servant. Paul said, and was made in the likeness of man. Paul then said in verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man. Watch now. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God became one of us and died for us, which was his redemptive work on earth. Jesus came to reconcile man back to God, to give man an opportunity to be reconciled to God, but God had to put on a body. Christ did. And he had to die for us. He humbled himself. That's what lowering means. When you go down to the lowest level you can in your mind, you just want to serve. I don't want to be served. Christ came to serve. And then Paul closed that in verse 9 by saying, wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That's what James was speaking about in verse 10. And, you know, we sing that song, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And he will lift you up. God the Father did it with Christ. James was reminding us that when we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord will lift you up. That's my message on this afternoon. Hopefully, it has been an encouragement to you, as it has been to me, that I submit myself to God, and then I humble myself in the sight of the Lord, that he will lift me up. If you're on the call this afternoon and you have not submitted yourself to the Lord in the sense that you have not become a Christian, in Romans chapter 1, as I said earlier, I will share with you how one become a Christian. You'll find a couple of scriptures I share in Romans 1, 15 and 16. The Bible says, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And the gospel is found in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. There are three facts of the gospel. One, that we talk about how Christ humbled himself. Christ died for the sins of mankind. Christ was then taken down. He suffered on the cross with nails in his hands and his feet. He suffered on that cross. He died on that cross, and they took him down, and they buried him in a tomb. 3 days later, he rose again, never to die again. You must believe that. You heard it. You must believe it. And then Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. You have to believe it. It was to the Jew first, and it's also to the Greek. So you have to believe that. You have to hear the gospel, which I've shared. You have to believe it. As I said in my message, you have to turn to God. That's called repentance. You repent of your sins. You turn to God. And then you make the confession found in Acts 8:37 of what the eunuch said before he was baptized. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we find in Romans chapter 6, because right now you're still in your sins. And Paul asked the question, What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace, God grace may abound? He said, God forbid, or God won't allow. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Remember, Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, Christ died for sin. What you must do, you must die to sin. How do you die to sin? It's told us in verse 3 and 4. He said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. So you have to be buried with Christ in baptism. Verse 4 tells us that therefore we are buried with him by baptism. You are water baptized for the remission of your sins into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now you're a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, about verse 17-18, where you're a new creature in Christ. You then will be added by the Lord, not by man, to the church of Christ. Romans 16:16. If you are subject to that invitation, get with the person that invited you on the call. You get with us. We'll make it happen that you're water baptized for remission of your past sins and forgiven of your past sins, and the Lord then will add you to the only church you can read about, the church of Christ. We thank you again for your listening ear. Thank you very much.